An unmarried son is a liability for any Indian family, but it's worse if he's in another country. There's continued extended family pressures, and he's also shown a remarkable ability to not pick up. Every week, we look at the joys and pitfalls of an arranged marriage with our modern Indian man, Moli, and me, his sister, Star. Hello and welcome to the Arranged Marriage for the Modern Indian Man podcast. My name is Star. I'm joined by the man in question and my brother, Moody.
Hello.
Usually Bobby joins us every week, but she can't be here today because of an emergency, so it's just the two of us this week. Today we'll talk about how Muli's conversations with his matches are going and what the update is on the current status of him finding a wife for life. Welcome to the show, Muli.
Thanks, Star. Bobby was always nice enough to not read the a remarkable ability to not pick up intro, but I guess you've stuck with it.
Any excuse to humiliate you?
Yeah, I wrote that one for the first episode and she never read it out.
So how are your matches going, Muli? I mean, you've had a couple of things now. You've met a few women that whose profiles you liked on the first instance. So maybe we can talk about Ramya Krishnan, who was the first match that you were actually interested in, right?
Yeah, that's right. So we've had some interesting discussions about RK, I guess, already, or R. Kelly, as I've been calling her in my mind. So we've had some we've heard some different things from the parents, like you and I, on this. So I think we talked about it a bit last week as well. But so I never got her details, and I never actually spoke to her. And I assumed it was because, since girls get a choice now as well. That she just wasn't interested on me based on my profile, because my parents said that her mom said that the horoscopes didn't match, which is the nice way of saying that the bride's not interested. So I was cool. But my parents were a little bit evasive when I pushed them on about it. I was oh, they're just not interested, right? It's all good. And my mom was yeah. And then I talked to you, and so what actually happened was actually a little bit different. So do you want to let us know what you heard from the parents there?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's funny you say that. Her mom said that, the horoscopes didn't match. And that also seemed a bit out of character for them, right? Because one of the things that we talked about last week was that Ramya Krishnan seemed to be a little bit unconventional for the type of person who would put up a profile on an arranged marriage website.
Yeah, that's right.
And her mom seemed really cool as well. And our mom and her mom got on really well.
Yeah, you think she could have been honest if her daughter wasn't actually interested?
Yeah, that's right. But the funny thing is, so I talked to mom and she told me that Ramya Krishnan's mom didn't actually tell her that she was putting her profile up on an arranged marriage website.
It was a stealthy make of the profile. Ah, they stealthed the profile.
Yeah, the profile was definitely in stealth mode, and the poor girl herself didn't know about the fact that she'd been put up for matchmaking. And obviously, as soon as she found out, she just told her mum that, yeah, that's not going to happen. But I guess we've had a few, this is something that we've talked about, right? Because I remember Bobby saying that sometimes people don't want to put up details because they haven't told their kids to put their profiles up. But this has happened to you, Muli.
But I guess I've had personal experience with this because a couple of years ago, my parents tried to do the same thing to me and I really shut them down that time. So, based on your advice, so it was pretty creepy, actually, because, they just made the profile and, there was, so much personal information and, it just felt like a really big violation of my privacy. So I remember talking to you about it and, initially I thought it was kind of funny, but I think, I took your advice on it a bit and ended up deleting it pretty much, so.
So what was the trigger for them to put it up even in the first place?
I'm not sure, but I think they claimed they could only see the potential matches if they'd made me a profile, and then they started making it, and it just one thing led to another. It's like a continuum of escalation.
But they actually messaged a woman and tried to set you up with someone, so it wasn't just we're just looking at the profiles to see what's out there.
Yeah, that's right. So they did say that we looked at what was out there, and we found this girl, and we want you to talk to her.
Yeah. But it's just like, I don't understand why parents even do this. Like, what do they think is going to happen when their kid finds out that they just went behind their back and made them a profile? I mean, it's very unlikely that anyone's going to say yes in that situation, right?
I guess I said, actually, to be honest, I didn't say no straight away. I was kind of like on the fence, and I said, I'll have a look at this girl's profile. And then I talked to you about it, and then you were like, don't do it, just delete the profile. And so I deleted the profile and told them not to do it, and kind of got there, like, kind of promised that they would get my, like, they would ask me before they made the profile again, which they've kept so far. So they only made this new profile after I said, gave them the go ahead. But I think, I don't know, like, I mean, we've talked about this a bit last week as well, and like before, but like, I think you've got to be like, you've got to be strong-willed enough to say no to it. So, and I feel like that's especially a problem for girls in India, because like, they're expected to do what their parents say a bit more than the boys, expected to be good girls all the time. So it's, I think there's definitely, maybe, R. Kelly was definitely not a good girl. So she definitely was able to say no to her mom. But there are probably a lot of women who wouldn't say no at all. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like there's this kind of like implicit expectation that if you're a woman, then you're probably not going to find any good matches once you're past like 26, 27. And the age is probably a little bit higher for men. So I think a lot of parents make a profile for their daughters really early, actually. Like, I mean, we've seen so many women who are like 22, 23 on these websites, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So I think for a lot of women, the parents are like, they make the profile, and then, you know, once they're like 25 or so and start getting matches, they're like, hey, you know, if you leave this too long, you're not going to find anyone good. And then there's just like a ton of pressure after that to say yes to someone, or to keep the profile up, and then at least like keep the process open, you know, whether or not you're ready for it.
Yeah. So you think we should applaud R. Kelly's mom for waiting until she was 27 to put up the profile without telling her?
Well, you don't know how long that profile's been up for.
Because, like, of our cousins as well, like, we spoke about a couple of cousins, like, a lot of cousins getting arranged marriages, and a couple of them having love marriages. And, like, both the cousins who've had love marriages are male cousins.
That's true. I think it's definitely much harder if you're a female to, like, to break the mold, so to speak, and to go against your mom and dad. Obviously, yeah, those two cousins had love marriages, but, you know, the women's families also had to agree to it, right?
Yeah, but I think,
you know, in general, I feel like our family is really conservative. Yeah, so maybe like the women's families are like less conservative than our families. That certainly seems to be the case with one of them, at least. And I think maybe in like really conservative families, women get pressured more and men have a little bit more leeway to have a love marriage if they want.
Yeah, that's right. I guess because I've kind of avoided the pressure of getting it. But I guess I've also been overseas and not close to the relatives and out of reach, so to speak. So
yeah, you haven't been going to weddings all the time with our uncles and aunties constantly asking you when you're getting married.
Yeah, I can't imagine what that's like for some of our cousins. Well, particularly one who's been trying to get married, who they've been trying to get married for a while now.
Yeah, she's an interesting case, actually, because there's obviously a lot of pressure on her to meet people, and she's met people and even like said yes and then kind of redacted the yes in retrospect.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think she's very keen to get married right now either, but I guess she's not in the position where she can refuse to see anyone. She still sees them but then says no at some point, I think.
Yeah, that's right. And I kind of feel sorry for her in that situation, because, you know, it would be much more straightforward if she could just say no instead of going through the charade of like meeting guys, saying yes, and then saying no. And this has happened a few times now where she's met someone and then said yes initially and then said no. And now there's like rumors abound that, oh, she's got a secret boyfriend. Maybe like, you know, maybe she doesn't want to tell her parents about it. And, you know, part of me is like, you know, maybe she just doesn't want to get married and she doesn't know how to say no.
Yeah, I guess they're all possibilities, but I don't feel too bad for her since I'm a little bit in the same boat, I guess, just with a bit more, a little bit less pressure, I think.
Brothers in arm kind of thing, huh?
Yeah, sisters in arm, I guess. Happy Women's Day.
Oh,
sisters in arm.
Thanks. So, Muli, moving on, I mean, you've had a few matches and now you've actually spoken to a couple of women, right?
Yep, that's right.
Do you want to talk a bit about them?
So yeah, so we've got a so after the RK saga, so there was another girl that I said yes to from the first lot of matches, and there's been like a few other ones that pop up here and there that my parents want me to talk to. So there's been one girl in Australia and another girl in Europe that I've been in contact with over the past week. So it's been a bit of a different experience between the two of them, quite polar opposite, actually. So we'll talk about the one in Europe first. Do you have any ideas for a Bollywood / Kollywood nickname star?
How about we call her Kajol?
All right, so we'll go with Kajol, I guess. She's pretty 90s, so I'm willing to accept this. So Kajol... so Kajol, we'll say, is the one who's studying in Europe. She finishes mm-hmm. in a few months. So we had a really pretty good conversation. I emailed her and then WhatsApped her for quite a bit. And I still WhatsApp her a bit now, actually. So she was very, very open and honest about what she expected from the process. And like, mm-hmm. she was very probing in her initial questions. And we had a... I didn't expect it to go that way, because I expected it to be a lot of awkward small talk for maybe at least a couple of weeks. And then we get down to, oh, what are your future plans? How many kids do you want to have? And I guess it was maybe a little bit, like, now that I think about it, slightly sexist. I assumed I would initiate. I think I expected to initiate the serious conversations so that I would determine whether I seriously wanted to continue talking to them or not.
Yeah. And I guess also you were expecting, like, I wouldn't say like shy and retiring, but I think maybe you felt like, oh, women will probably want the guy to take the lead in a way.
Yeah, I guess so. I won't deny that was not a part of it, I guess. So this seems a bit mean to say, but I think like for me too, like I gave my parents the whole bunch of conditions. So I felt like I had to tick some of those conditions off, like with the girls. Just to make sure that I use them, like, kind of. The conditions were made. And, like, I was like, I'm going to ask them these questions. Like, I'm going to make it happen. Like, because I'm not the most open and honest, like, conversationalist. So I think I was trying to, like, maybe... Like, I thought of it as a challenge as well.
Yeah. So what kinds of things did you guys talk about?
We talked about everything initially. She asked me what I wanted to do, where I wanted to work, she told me about where she worked. She asked me about my past relationships, and she was very honest about her past ones. So I thought it was very refreshing, and she was very uncharacteristic, I guess, of an Indian girl who would agree to an arranged marriage, at least in my view.
Mm-hmm.
So we were quite similar, and we had a lot of similar interests. She really liked to travel and a number of other things. So I guess it was definitely like not what I expected at all from my first, I guess, arranged marriage match conversation.
But did that give you a bit of hope for the future? I mean, like, did you hope that, okay, if this woman's being dishonest with me, then maybe I should modify my expectations that other women will be honest as well?
Yeah, a bit. I guess we'll speak a bit more about that from the second match, I guess. So, but yeah, which was a bit different. But I do remember speaking to Bobby about this, and she was saying that they're in here to look to talk about marriage, like, and like it's a serious commitment, and they might think that you're only going to speak for like a few weeks before you have to say yes or no. So maybe she's just like doesn't want any bullshit. She just wants to get straight to the meat of it. But having said that, I think she did admit that she was not much for small talk, and that she didn't want to get married very soon, and she wanted us to get to know each other. So I think that's just the sort of girl that she was. She was very open and honest, and so we had a really good conversation. So she did build up my hope a little bit in the whole process as to maybe I could find somebody who I'd be compatible with. But at the same time, like, we talked for quite a while, and it also like slowly like eroded some of that hope, because like I don't think like I could get anybody more compatible than her, like, in the process, like, at least on paper, like, based on, I think we spoke about this stuff. On paper, she's right. Like, we like a lot of the same things. She wants to live overseas. She likes to travel and all that. But we still, like I didn't think we clicked completely. Because we still chat, and she's like, we're still friends and we still keep in touch. But I think we're just a bit too different, Star. I think, and we talked about this. I think she's like, you wouldn't like, I think she's like very much into like deep thought, and she's a bit like, I don't know, like, I don't want to say brooding, but I guess.
She's quite introspective.
She's quite introspective, that's right. And I guess I'm not in as much words. What do you think, Star? Do you think I'm introspective?
I think you're introspective, but your for you, introspection is like a private thing. And I think you do think about things quite deeply when you have to. But I've never known you to be one of those people who really wants to share that process with other people. And I think in some ways you're also quite decisive. Like you might introspect for a while and then you kind of have an outcome at the end of it and you don't feel the need to talk through other people. And I think partly that's because you're quite independent and you don't necessarily expect other people to be part of making decisions in your life. Or I guess another way of putting it would be, I think you also have a good sense of who you are and you don't really feel the need to question that, maybe. And it seems like she's someone who really thinks about, like, what does my life mean? What's my place in the world? How do I, you know, change things around me? And I think for you, it's more like, you're more like, this is my life and this is what I want to do. So I'm just going to do it and not think too much about it, you know?
Yeah, I guess I've always described myself as a extreme nihilist whilst hungover, so.
Actually, Mouly, I can share a little bit about my own relationship in this context. So when my husband and I met, we met at a professional setting and we just added each other on Facebook and it wasn't like we weren't interested in each other at that point or whatever. But the way our relationship started was actually quite similar to the process you're going through.
What, an arranged marriage?
Yeah, the process of like you talking to people in long distance and like trying to figure out who they are on the basis of what they say to you, right? So we started off chatting on Facebook while I was in India and he was in Australia. And almost instantly, we just were like super blunt and super honest with each other. It also helps that we're both really blunt people and we're both very outspoken, I guess. I mean, you've obviously met my husband a number of times and I think blunt is a pretty good way to describe him.
I think outspoken is a word that some people use, yes, when they're being polite.
So we just sort of put everything out there, let it all hang out, so to speak. And for me anyway, and probably for him, pretty much straight away after having like conversations over text, we weren't even like Skyping or anything. I just knew like, okay, there's something about this guy. Like, you know, I felt like when I see him in person, like I just want to like grab him with both hands and like, I want to know everything about him and I want to know everything about his life. Like I just felt this really like strong
attraction,
connection. Yeah, maybe not like, I wouldn't say like I was in love with him after talking to him on Facebook or anything like that. Or I don't believe in love at first sight or, you know, I mean, I think I am like a bit of a hopeless romantic in a lot of ways, but not so hopeless to think that I'm just going to meet someone and then I'm just going to fall in love straight away. But I felt like that sort of thing didn't really happen for you with this girl.
I think that's fair to say. I think we had a lot of open and blunt conversation, but I don't think I felt like the spark completely, as we said. I don't think I felt the way about it, the way you feel about your husband, at least when you first talked to him. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's not to say like every relationship has to start the same way, or I mean, there's like many different ways people fall in love, right? So it's not to say that just because it happened that way for me, it should happen that way for you.
No, not at all. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think at the very least, you should start to like develop real feelings for someone over time. And that wasn't really happening from what you said.
Yeah, that's right. I guess so. I don't know. We still keep in touch. And I guess I haven't totally closed myself off to the possibility of a relationship with her. She kind of said no to me, to her mom. And I said no to her, to my parents, because they kept asking me about her as well. So I think we've both kind of said no, and now there's not as much pressure on us. So it's been more, it's more along the lines of if we're ever at the same place, we'll catch up for a drink or dinner or something and then see how it goes, I think.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because that definitely wasn't my experience with my husband. It wasn't like, oh, if it happens, it happens. I was like, when I come back to Australia, like, I'm going to see you and we're going to see where this goes.
But I guess we don't have that surety of where we will be or where we will meet. So I think I think my parents have realized this as well, because
yep.
I think they were like, I think it's important to meet them and they think that as well. So for the next girl, I've called her Katrina. I'll explain the reason afterwards.
Okay.
Anyways, so I've called the second girl Katrina, and she's in Australia, so I guess it would have been a bit easier to meet her as compared to going to Europe. So I think that was one of the reasons why they were really keen for me to talk to this girl, talk to Katrina, and also why they were so keen to talk for me to talk to the girl with the really conservative family last week, because it would be really easy to meet girls who live in Australia. So I had essentially like a 180 degree experience with her, with Katrina, as compared to with Kajol.
How
So
come?
yeah, for a couple of reasons, I think. So the main reason was that the conversation was basically all like extremely small talk, like tiny, tiny talk. So we didn't get to any serious issues. I think she didn't feel comfortable asking me for photos, for more photos of myself. So she asked her mum to ask my mum for more photos. If she'd asked me if she want, if she could, if she'd asked me, I would have been happy to share like my Facebook profile, or like I'm Facebook friends with acquaintances from high school. I mean, I'm happy to be Facebook friends with like a prospective like marriage match. So I think so from the get-go, I think she just wasn't comfortable asking me for stuff. And I did see her Facebook profile, as did you, Star. So she didn't seem very too interesting from the profile either. I think she didn't like my photos and my profile. Like, she just didn't find me attractive, which is totally fair. But she couldn't bring herself. So she ended up ghosting me. So she hasn't like replied to my last message.
So, did you guys actually talk or did you just message each other?
No, we didn't speak. I haven't spoken to either of them, so we've just messaged each other. So we just exchange messages. But the message, her replies just got slower and less frequent, till they stopped, I guess.
Yeah, I wonder why she feels like she can't say no. Maybe women are just conditioned to not be able to say no to people, but you know, I mean, if I was in her position, I would just say, hey man, send me some photos. And actually, I'm not that attracted to you, so I think you're cool, but thanks, but no thanks, you
Yeah,
know?
that and I think I would have taken that in my stride. I mean, I still have my I reckon my self-confidence meter is a little bit lower this week, maybe 7 out of 10, as opposed to the 8 out of 10 of the last couple of weeks. But I think I would have just taken it in my stride. I think that also maybe she's fallen back on this a little bit, because I thought about this as well, because like I've wanted to avoid awkward conversation as much as possible. And I guess it's pretty easy to try to take advantage of your parents to do that, because they're the ones driving this process, I guess.
That's true, actually. I mean, in some ways, that's a big advantage, right? Because, I mean, who likes breaking up with people? No one. It's painful and you don't want to hurt someone. So maybe in some ways, it's just easier to get your parents to do the breakup for you. And I think also, Muli, the thing you're forgetting is that parents have a lot of soft options for saying no.
Oh, that's right. The astrology is the horoscopes is the classic one, I guess.
Horoscope is the classic. Parents can say things like, oh, actually, my daughter just wants to study for a while or work for a while and she doesn't want to get married yet.
Or
Or
they can say, we don't like that the fact that your son eats eggs.
that's
Of
right. Or drinks.
course.
So I feel like parents have a lot of soft options. And in some ways, it's like easier for, I don't want to say women, it's probably easier for most people to use their parents to deliver the bad news instead of having to do it themselves, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's totally fair. And I think I don't think either of them saw my profile before agreeing to speak to me, which I think is kind of insane, because I looked at both their profiles before I agreed to speak to them. So I think they're either like really ambivalent about the process, or they feel really forced into it, so they're interacting with it as little as possible.
Well, there's option number three, which is that they really trust their parents to find someone who's good.
Oh, there's extremely trusting people. Oh.
Well, I don't think everyone else is like that, Muli. Maybe some people just feel like their parents know them quite well and they wouldn't pick someone they wouldn't be compatible with.
And I guess our parents have surprised me as well, so maybe not always, they're not always wrong. But
Yeah,
still.
that's funny actually. Speaking of trust, I've had a couple of conversations with mom and dad where dad's actually said to me, "Oh, you know, I'm really happy that both of you are overseas and independent, but I think that's resulted in you guys not trusting us, and I feel like Muli doesn't trust us to pick someone for him."
Well, yeah, I kind of said that to their faces, so I mean, like, so it's.
Yeah, but I feel like it's, you know, no, it's I think it's deeper than that. I feel like he thinks that we don't I think he feels like we think that they don't know us at all. And in some ways, that's completely true, that they don't know us very well. But this is the first kind of outward inkling that I've had from them that they might actually realize this.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess we do underestimate them in a lot of ways.
Yeah, but I mean, our parents have never really shown an ability to like introspect and think about this and actually express this to us before, right?
Yeah, that's right.
For the longest time, they used to fall back on a lot of parenting tropes, like, oh, if you have kids, you'll understand. Or we're your parents and we just want what's best for you. Or, you know, we know what you like and we know you pretty well. And this is the first time I've actually heard them admit that, oh, maybe you guys don't trust us as much as we'd like you to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad he spoke to you about that. Because I guess it's good that he's opening that sort of conversation with you. But I'm not sure if they got that from introspection, because they asked me directly whether I trust them to find me somebody. And I kind of said no. So I guess I gave them a direct answer. They didn't have to introspect that hard for it. So it was more about them introspecting as to whether I was lying or not. So I think they probably came to the conclusion that I was.
Well, Muli, why don't you trust them?
I don't know, because I think you're right. I don't feel like they know me. But actually, they've interacted with me enough over the last few years. I guess it's, I don't know. Maybe it says something more about me than them that I'm willing to trust them. I don't know. But I mean, let's be honest here. I don't think you would trust them to find you a partner either. So I'm not alone
in this. That's true. But in my defense, I'm also a lot more secretive with them than you probably have been.
I guess that's debatable. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think, so it's funny. We both have very different dynamics with our mom and dad. I've always been someone who pushes back a lot. And I've had like some pretty flaming rows with mom and dad over trivial stuff and big things and everything really. And you've always taken the live and let live approach to your relationship with them. Where if they say something that grates on your nerves or rubs you up the wrong way, you just kind of brush it off and you're happy to play like the good son part to an extent.
To an extent, yeah.
And I mean, you don't want to rock the boat. And for me, I feel like, no, screw that. I need to push back. But Muli, part of that is also because I think I had a lot more restrictions on me growing up than you did.
I think, I don't think that's not a question of your perspective. That was, I think, literal truth. That I think it's an objective fact that you had more restrictions.
Yeah, so I felt like if I didn't push back, I'm never going to get where I need to go or where I want to go, whether it's, you know, whether it's justified or not. And at the end of the day, when you're an adult, you kind of have to do what it takes to get what you want, right? I mean, you can't just sort of be under your mom and dad's thumb all your life. So I've had to push back a lot. Whereas I think for you,
yeah, that's right.
They're happy to give you the freedoms that you want to have as long as they feel like they have a good relationship with you. Part of me also feels like a bit of Schadenfreude because when dad said that, oh, you guys don't trust us. I thought, yeah, well, you know, trust is a two-way street and it's something that you need to build with people over years.
They do trust us enough, I think, especially like for us to have lived overseas for so long. Like I think they do trust us too. A bit, maybe. I think they trust us a bit more than we trust them, actually.
Yeah, I mean, they probably trust us to an extent. Yeah, I agree that they trust us more than we trust them.
So do you think Katrina might be more of a not rocking the boat kind of girl?
I think so. I think she might have had a quiet word with her mom and said, oh, you know, can I see a few more photos? Maybe she's giving them the gentle letdown as well, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, right. I never said why I called her Katrina. I think, like, Katrina Kaif's like this Bollywood actress who can't speak Hindi at all. So I've named her after her since I got so few responses.
So you think she's just incapable of, like, communication?
Oh, well, in my mind, that's what she is. Like, I mean, I've never met her, so I'm not sure she could be a really talkative person.
So, Muli, you said that your self-confidence meter is a little bit lower now. It's more at, like, 7.
I think it's a little bit lower, I think, especially after being, like, the brutally honest conversations with Kajol and, like, basically the soft, like, ghosting from Katrina. So, I'd say 7 out of 10 is probably an all-time low for me, I think.
So, where to from here, Muli?
Yeah, I don't know. So there's a few more matches coming around here and there. My parents were really interested in Katrina, but I guess that's not happening. So I'm just kind of waiting on them now to throw me some matches and, yeah, exchange some emails, fair enough. See how it goes.
So in light of all of this, where do you think the parentometer is at?
I think the parentometer, where did we leave at last time? I think we said it was a little...
They were somewhat annoyed, yes.
Somewhat annoyed. I think we agreed on somewhat annoyed. That's right. So I'd say they're still somewhat annoyed. I think they were kind of really hopeful for a little bit with Katrina, but now they're back to somewhat annoyed.
Yeah, fair enough. So, have you had any more pushback about your conditions at all or anything like that?
That's right. So that's what we'll talk about next week, I think.
All right, leaving us in mystery there.
That's right. We'll have a cliffhanger for this episode, I think. All right. Next week, we'll see how my parents are dealing with the setbacks and my conditions. And we've had a lot of comments from early listeners and a couple of people on Reddit about Star's relationship and the pushback from my parents and extended family, and also about Bobby's relationships. And so I think people just want to hear a bit more about Bobby and Star, really. And they don't want me to be the sole star of the show. So yeah, we'll see you all next week. If you have any comments, we'd love to hear them at arrangemarriagepodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter, AMMIM Podcast. It would be great if you could leave us a review on whichever platform you guys use, Stitcher, iTunes, etc. We'd also like to thank Kevin MacLeod for his song Narayana, which we use in our intro and outro.